Live from our nation's capital on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Stir up the will of your faithful, we pray, O Lord, that striving more eagerly to bring your divine work to fruitful completion, they may receive in greater measure the healing remedies of your kindness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
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 Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful psalm, the Psalm 136. To share with us on this Thanksgiving special. It reminds us we need to be merciful today. There's a lot going on as we prepare for Thanksgiving. People's, tempers may get a little short. Let's not do that, y'all. Let's be merciful as God is merciful to us, and he's merciful forever. And I also have to say I'm super thankful today because we've got all our godly counsels. This is just like a wonderful show. We've got Monsignor Charles Pope. He's the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Church in Washington, D.C., and far way out in Virginia. We've got Father Bjorn Lundberg, who's the pastor of Sacred Heart Parish in Winchester, Virginia. Then we come back to the city boy. We've got Father Vincent DeRosa. He's the pastor of St. Mary's Church in Chinatown in Washington, D.C. And of course, we've got the fabulous, dynamic Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, who's a co-host of Morning Glory with us today. I just feel like I'm holding it down for all the ladies and all the lay people. I just realized I'm the only person that doesn't have holy orders on this show.
It just means it takes four of us to compete with one of you, Gloria.
Sweet. But we're going to have a fun show. We've got a lot that we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about what kinds of what does your parish do on Thanksgiving? What kind of traditions does your parish do to extend the life of the parish into the community on Thanksgiving Day?
Mm-hmm. Also the topic, how do you deal with that relative, right? We've all got that relative at the Thanksgiving table or watching the football game or whatever. How do you deal with that relative in a gracious, godly way? That's an important topic that binds all of us together on this Thanksgiving Day.
Amen. You ain't kidding. And on that note, we should be saying, what are your prayer traditions on Thanksgiving? We know sometimes those difficult people will call us and be like, Lord, have mercy. So what are your prayer traditions on Thanksgiving? We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can text us by texting the letters EWTN to 55000. Put your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. And please note that message and data rates may apply. Not only is today Thanksgiving, it's also November 28th, and November is Black Catholic History Month. And on the show, we've been sharing one Black Catholic history fact each day. So today, we're going to talk about a blessed from South Africa. So there was Benedict Dazwa. He was born in 1946. And he was Jewish. He belonged to the Jewish Lumba tribe in the northernmost region of South Africa. And he grew up observing Jewish customs. And then he converted to Christianity and was baptized in the church at age 17. He was a husband, a father of eight. He helped build a parish, was a principal of a primary school, and he was a teacher. He also, however, did not mess around with anything related to witchcraft or the occult. No way. And actually, that would lead to his violent murder in 1990 at the age of 43. Why? Because he refused to join his neighbors in paying a sorcerer who claimed to be able to end severe storms. Now, when the diocese went and started investigating his life, they discovered that a group of men ambushed him for the same stance of not willing to get involved with any witchcraft or sorcery. And he was on his knees praying as he was being beaten to death. And according to the diocesan investigation into his death, when Blessed Dazwa saw a man coming towards him with a club to give him the final blow, his last words were, God, into your hands, receive my spirit. So he was martyred in 1990 and beatified in 2015 in front of a crowd of about 30,000. And at that beatification were his eight children and his 91-year-old mother. Blessed Benedict Dazwa, pray for us.
Amen.
Wow. Awesome.
What a story, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. You're trying to figure out how to deal with that difficult uncle or aunt. Just think about Blessed Dazwa.
Amen, right? For sure, for sure. Well, so What are y'all going to be doing today for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just say, Father Bjorn, I'm going to be driving past your parish on my way down to Charlottesville to see my aunt and uncle and my cousins down there. So that's what I'll do, driving out early on Thanksgiving here.
Hon, can you go by, come by, say hi, get an apple from beautiful apple country here?
All right, we'll do it.
Well, we're going to be going to Mass, and then we'll have our family get together. My mother and mother-in-law and brother-in-law will be coming over to the house, and we'll probably head down to our parish and help out serving some folks there at our parish that we invite to come over for Thanksgiving. And that's, we'll just have a nice quiet day. Hopefully we won't talk about religion or politics.
And you're in Oregon, right? You're home in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I am home. Yes, yes. Because there's some years I have not been home for Thanksgiving. One year I was in Ireland, another year I was in Singapore, and they don't celebrate Thanksgiving there. So, but I am grateful to be home this year, that's for sure.
How about you, Father Vincent?
I'm excited because my niece is going to be in town. My sister, my brother-in-law, and their little girl, who is just almost 3 years old. She'll be three in December. Oh. So I'm really excited to celebrate Thanksgiving with them and with my folks. They're coming down from New York. So it'll be a dab-a-doo time here in Chinatown.
Dab-a-doo time. How about you, Father Bjorn?
I'm going to be over. My folks, I'm blessed. They live nearby, about 35 minutes away in Front Royal. So I'll see my mom and dad and my sister and my brother-in-law and the kids. I am Uncle Father to them. They usually just want to go downstairs in the basement and like wrestle or something, but then we have to get upstairs and eat. But what's cool is on the way, after we have our Thanksgiving Mass here, I head over to some parishioners. They get together, a big group of them from the Christian Family Movement. They've been getting together for years, and all their kids who are grown and out of the house come home, and they start over at a local high school in the parking lot shooting off rockets. So what is that? They have rockets that they get. And it's like, kind of like fireworks. And then after that's done, then we go to the house and start eating and drinking. And then make to the next. That's the appetizer before I hit the Lindbergh house. So it's great.
Nice. Wow. Nice. Well, you know, today is Thanksgiving. And probably like a lot of the moms and wives listening to the show, we are preparing this feast for you all to enjoy. We're preparing the house, getting out, if we haven't already, gotten out all the linens and ironed everything and got everything set up so you all will have this wonderful Thanksgiving and enjoy the traditions that we help, you know, make traditions. And so that's what I'll be doing today for Thanksgiving. I'm very happy about it too. But, you know, it's one of those things where just remember somebody's putting all these things together for you and try to help out in whatever way you can, you know, whether it's to offer to clean off the dishes or to take the trash out, you know. Maybe y'all do offer. I don't know.
Well, now hang on a second, because there's the offer, but then there's the response, right? There's the, no, that's not how it's done, or no, this is how you do it, or that's, and I just want to say, you know.
Do I have to explain this to you?
Yeah, right, you can do that already. Didn't you know to do that?
Well, now, Father, now, come on now. Y'all want things a certain way, and some of y'all don't know how to fold a napkin. I mean, I'm just saying, y'all, we took this time to wash the linens and the iron and to have this beautiful, crisp, beautiful tablecloth and the napkins, and if we let some of y'all do it, it'd just be crumpled up on the table, and you'd be like, what's wrong with that?
So, that's modern art.
No, no. So it's not that we don't want your assistance. It's just that certain things, if you want those traditions, have to be done a certain way. But they're, like I said, offer to take the dishes off the table, maybe offer to scrape the food into, you know, the trash before and do a pre-wash before it goes in a dishwasher, or hand wash them for some things that can't be hand washed. Another thing y'all can offer is, let me get out what you want us to store the leftovers in, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's some things. All the glamour jobs.
What's your dish, Gloria? I mean, you're going to be helping. What's the one that you're looking forward to preparing the most?
What's your favorite from Twitter this year that you heard about that you want to talk about?
No. Are you kidding me? No.
Pineapple. What is it? Pineapple saltines and what else?
Okay, so there's this guy that's swearing that this is a southern dish that's very popular on Thanksgiving, and it's called pineapple casserole. Have y'all ever heard of this, first of all? Have you ever heard of a pineapple casserole? It's cheese, butter, pineapple, and I think Ritz crackers. And this guy's swearing that this is a Southern
dish.
See,
right there, he lost me.
Okay, right. So I was like, he had telling the tale. So I got on a group chat with all my Southern family members, and I was like, I already knew the answer, but I just wanted to know what were their thoughts on this pineapple casserole that somebody said is a popular Southern dish. Well, the responses came back, he a lie. Somebody said, unsubscribe me from this conversation. Another person said, if you bring that, there will be violence at the Thanksgiving table. So they were like, there's no such thing as a pineapple casserole is a Southern dish for Thanksgiving. They're just like, that's just not the case. And I did talk to a lot of other Southerners that they were like, no, we don't eat that for Thanksgiving. One person admitted that their mother tried something like that, but it wasn't on Thanksgiving. But they tried a pineapple casserole.
Well, I'm looking forward to stuffing. That's my favorite part.
Really?
I honestly believe it's the only time of year I actually eat stuffing.
Is it cornbread stuffing?
I really like it.
What's it made out of? Unless you don't know, just tastes good.
Well, my wife it's a homemade thing that she does with like real breadcrumbs, and I mean like you know,
okay,
like
so
takes
it's not
bread
cornbread,
and
it's breadcrumbs, yeah.
Yeah, it's a breadcrumb kind of based thing, and I really look forward to that. Simple things in life.
A good cornbread stuffing with sausage and chestnuts. Oh. Chestnuts and stuffing are a beautiful thing.
Never had that.
Sounds good. We have a lot of dishes. Like as a Southerner, we have the collard greens. We have some rice dish, of course, because I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. We're known for rice. So you'll either have, and sometimes you have both, you'll have white rice with the homemade gravy from the turkey drippings. Or we'll make our red rice, which is a Southern dish where you cook white rice with tomatoes and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And our producer's trying to start trouble. He's putting up their green bean casserole. I've heard people hate that dish. But maybe they don't. What do y'all think about green bean casserole? It has a crispy
little
things on top.
I think you're going to have it. Shouldn't you have like those little French onions on top if you're going to have it?
The crispiness.
I've never been a huge fan. I'm more of a spoon bread and corn pudding guy.
Really?
Those are from when I had some family in Richmond. Those were our Southern dishes.
My mom makes potatoes casserole, and my sister makes these great pies. So I look forward to that.
Am I? Well, I just want to announce that you don't want me in the kitchen, Gloria, because I would burn the salad.
You know what, Monsignor? God bless you for knowing your lane. He's like, look, that's not my talent. And we love men like this. We love anybody that realizes, you know what, cooking isn't my thing. But I have other talents that I can do. Eat. And I, you know, you can eat.
Yeah,
we love that. Well, I have to say this. We're going to have a deep fried turkey. We're going to have deep fried turkey. That's easy.
Nice.
I deep fried turkeys now for a long time. We're going to have deep fried turkey, and we also have ham. That's the one thing we also have on the table is ham.
We usually have ham at Christmas and turkey.
We can have ham at Christmas too, or goose. Sometimes you can have goose, but it's so greasy to drip and all that. But anyhow, that's another story. Monsignor, so I didn't hear your thoughts on green bean casserole.
Well, it sounds like I'm all for it, but if I don't have to make it.
Besides,
I'm getting ready to go shop
is.
At 2 o'clock on the afternoon on Thanksgiving, right? I'm going to the mall. No, I'm not.
Not going to be
go take a nap before they get up at for midnight Amazon Black Friday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, that is right. That is tomorrow, huh? Yeah, I avoid that whole Black Friday thing. I just can't. I can do something online, maybe. Well, let's see. What do we have coming up next on Morning Glory? We'll talk
How
about
How does your parish share Thanksgiving with others?
That's right.
What kind of things do you do in your parish to make Thanksgiving come alive for the people in your community?
That's important.
Amen.
Amen.
Want to see the Morning Glory team in person? Check out road shows at EWTNMorningGlory.com. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. Want to see the Morning Glory team in person? Check out road shows at EWTNMorningGlory.com. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
Yep, you're listening to Morning Glory on this happy Thanksgiving morning. What a special show this Thursday of the 34th week in Ordinary Time. And got a treat for you. All of our godly counsels are here along with the dynamic Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We've got Father Bjorn Lundberg, who's way out in Winchester, Virginia. He's the pastor of Sacred Heart Parish. We've got Monsignor Charles Pope. He's the pastor of Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian Church right here in Washington, D.C. And we've got Father Vincent DeRosa, who's the pastor of St. Mary's Church in Chinatown in Washington, D.C. And we've also got a special thing here. We've asked our listeners to call in with their Thanksgiving reflections. And I'm so happy to say we've got this listener here, Father Peter Muir from Salem, Massachusetts. Here's what he thinks.
I want to give this message, Santa Renee's statement, the glory of God is man fully alive. Thank you on this Thanksgiving. My contact with your station has left me more fully alive.
Aww.
It's lovely.
Oh, wonderful.
That's beautiful. I mean, it left him more fully alive. What a compliment, you know, so early in the morning, you know, when I know it's some people like, oh my gosh, it's so early, do I have to get up? And he's saying, after listening to us, he feels more fully alive. Well, that's
doing
sweet.
Your job.
Yep. Yeah. No, y'all are.
Yeah, you know, part of what we got, you know how St. Augustine said that part of our problem is that we're in curvatus and say, you know, we're turned in on ourselves. So part of the job of God is to turn us out to him and to others. And so Amen. Hopefully, Father, that's been the effect you've experienced from us and obviously from God, but through the secondary causes of some of us. Thank you for that. That's morning glory. It's not morning yes. sorrow. It's morning glory.
Morning glory. So thank you again, Father Peter Muir. I hope I'm saying your last name right, from Salem, Massachusetts. We've got a lot to talk about here. You know, I hear that parishes do various things for Thanksgiving. How do parishes share Thanksgiving with others? And I'm so glad we have three pastors here, because you all definitely can tell us what was supposed to happen, because I'm imagining you all will know what some parishes do, and then we could talk a little bit about our experience as the lay people in the parish.
Yeah,
well,
no, Deacon,
I'm the only lay person. Deacon's not a lay person, so yeah. I'll be holding it down for the lay people here.
Deacon, you had mentioned your parish does something pretty important on Thanksgiving for others.
Yeah, we, Immaculate Heart, we're a small parish. Like, we're talking about like 200 families. Very rich, culturally diverse area, parish in what used to be a depressed area, now gentrification has kind of taken over. But what we do is we open up our parish. We invite homeless and shut-ins, people who are alone. We keep track of those whose spouses have died, those that we know are the shut-ins. We invite them all to the parish. And we feed them. We bring out our best silverware. We got candles on the tables. We got linens, silverware. We have a nice Thanksgiving meal for them. The women from the parish come in and cook. The children of the parish serve the meals. People can take out if they want. We have bingo for free. We give away necessities for, you know, coats and hats and things like that to keep people warm for the homeless folks, and other prizes that people donate. And local businesses donate as well, and we play bingo, and just if you win, you get, you know, something for free, and sometimes that's the way some of these kids get Christmas presents, is through that as well. And we deliver food boxes to other people that can't come. We deliver food boxes and presents to them as well, and that's something that we used to do as a family. We did every year, so it was great.
Is this all done on Thanksgiving Day?
No, okay, yeah, so the meal that we do at the parish, we do it after Mass, the morning Mass. Okay. We set up, then in the afternoon, like from noon to like 4 or 5, we'll have this dinner. And for some people in the parish, that's their Thanksgiving. They bring the whole family. That's their Thanksgiving meal that day. It's spending it at the parish with the families, yeah. And then between Thanksgiving and Christmas, when we do the delivering of the boxes, the food boxes.
Well, that's kind of a busy Thanksgiving day for some folks, I guess, but it's... yeah, we all think to kind of get with our own families, but this is a different way of approaching it. So it's neat.
Mm-hmm. When out in Winchester, we take up a collection at the Thanksgiving Mass, and then that gets split between our Knights of Columbus, who run a soup kitchen downtown at Columbus Hall, and then also with CCAP, which is an ecumenical coalition of churches and groups that have homeless shelter and who help with people in need. And so that's part of how people here at Sacred Heart give back in Winchester.
Very nice.
I was at a parish that was in a fairly depressed area, and the ladies group would come together each year, and they would, in this tiny little parish, I mean, the congregation was only 150 individuals strong, but the ladies would come together, and they organized a basket drive, you know, a Thanksgiving basket drive. Each basket had a turkey, fixings, etc. And they would put together something like 200 baskets, these women. And one of these ladies, she walked in, and I knew her. She was one of the angels of the parish, and she was a little old retired lady on a fixed income. And I was amazed. She came in with four baskets that she had assembled, four turkeys, four sets of fixings, and so on. And wow. I said, how did you do that? Why? I was just blown away. And she said, Father, when I was a girl, the only way that we had a turkey some Thanksgivings was because of the church. Mm. So she said, now wow. I want to make sure that other wow. people have this. It was just beautiful to see.
That's great, yeah.
That's beautiful. I know at least a lot of the parishes around here and the ones that I've been to basically take up a collection, ask people to, not money, but of food items to drop off for the pantry that they can donate to Catholic charities that will help serve people on Thanksgiving. So some people do that. And I also heard of this one parish here in D.C. They're doing a rosary tour on Thanksgiving Day at the four local abortion facilities.
Wow.
So they're going to be, they're like, are these people closed today? Well, we're going to be out there praying. They're going to tour the four local abortion facilities and be praying a rosary outside on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm, goodness.
Very different.
Yeah.
We want you to tweet us at EWTN Radio with your comment and your insights. How does your parish celebrate Thanksgiving? What special traditions do you have in your community?
Seems like they're all food related, right?
Yeah, one thing, I was at a parish that had about four or five deacons in the parish, but they have about seven retirement communities, nursing homes and retirement communities, and they had a deacon assigned to each one. And I know that they want to keep those folks connected to the parish, because a lot of those folks were one-time parishioners. And now they're, you know, they kind of feel separated and apart from the parish, and some of them were very active when they were younger. And so the deacons helped them keep connected. And during Thanksgiving, I know that they have some people from the parish come and make special visits to those folks in the nursing homes and retirement communities, you know, just to make them feel welcome and still feel connected to the parish. So I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. You know, we do a Wednesday night mass, just because a lot of people, you know, they need Thursday morning to get ready with family and all, and that's been fairly well attended over the years. But we also start a process to collect our Christmas baskets. There's a tree we put out, and people take ornaments that have little food items and things to buy and bring back before the Christmas deadline. We put all of our Christmas boxes together for people, you know.
I think one of the things that Father Bjorn said was very telling. You know, it seems like everything has to do with food. And of course, we know, going back to the traditions of the first Thanksgiving, that, yeah, they survived the winter and they gave thanks for that. But, of course, the most important food that we receive is the bread of life, you know, the Lord himself and the Blessed Sacrament, which is why, of course, all parishes have some sort of mass of Thanksgiving on the day of or the night before, depending on travel schedules. In a lot of the cities, people leave, you know, people clear out of town to go see their families in other places, in their places of origin. But always, always, always rooting our food in the food of life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parishes do have mass that you can go today on Thanksgiving, go to mass. I know one parish here in the D.C. area has a vibrant share program, and that's where you can buy food at a reduced cost. Well, they're inviting people, and a lot of people did, to basically pay $36 and donate a Thanksgiving turkey dinner for $36 to somebody in need. And guess how many people this $36 meal will feed? It will feed six people. So wonderful? So for $36, you can give a Thanksgiving turkey dinner. You can donate it, and it will feed six people. And a lot of people do this. So I think that's a wonderful way that this parish is celebrating Thanksgiving. So people can cook at their own home and eat with their family, and no one has to know that, you know, they weren't able to afford
Thanksgiving meal. Some people go out to,
that's true,
to restaurants and things like that too. I was trying to think of, there was a one parish where they took people, the shut-in people, instead of bringing them to the parish like we do, they actually took them out to dinner, or either invite them over to their house, or some families go out to dinner. Some families don't cook. They actually go to a restaurant or someplace for a Thanksgiving meal, and they would invite a person that used to be in the parish to that meal, either to their home, if they're going to cook at home, or take them out, if they're going to go to a restaurant, take the person with them.
I knew a girl from Alabama. She said her family went out and got Chinese food on Thanksgiving. I was like, hush your mouth. But that's what they did. She said that.
Well,
they ate Chinese food
Thanksgiving.
That could
also be wisdom gleaned from years of fights. That could be.
But talk about no turkey, no ham. I was like, no gravy. She's like,
well, you
yeah,
watch the movie, you know, you get your tongue stuck to the frozen pole, and then you go out for Chinese on Christmas. Why not do it on Thanksgiving?
Well, we got a lot more coming up on Morning Glory. Deacon, what will we be talking about?
Yeah, we're going to talk about dealing with difficult people at Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about that.
And Father DeRosa?
We'll be covering some discussions about being
grace.
Thankful. How do we express our Thanksgiving? How do we express grace before meals and all the different ways that the Lord has been with us?
Morning Glory podcasts are available 24/7 at EWTNMorningGlory.com. Morning Glory, it's Catholic from coast to coast. Live from our nation's capital on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, this is Morning Glory, it's Catholic from coast to coast.
And we begin the second half hour with prayer, and we thank you, Lord, for this great, beautiful feast of Thanksgiving here in America. And I'm mindful of one of the things in your Psalms where the psalm writer asks, what return could I ever make to the Lord for all the good he's done for me? And then gives the answer, the cup of salvation I'll raise up and call on the name of the Lord. And so I guess getting to Mass, Lord, that's the key way to give you thanks. We, our imperfect thanks are joined with the perfect thanks of your Son, Jesus, and so we say perfectly then, if we get to Mass today, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you perfectly with Jesus. Amen.
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 Dew and rain, bless the Lord. Frost and chill, bless the Lord. Ice and snow, bless the Lord. Night and days, bless the Lord. Light and darkness, bless the Lord. Lightnings and clouds, bless the Lord. Let the earth bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever.
Yes, again, beautiful canticle. Again, the three young men, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, were thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar, who had changed their names to Shadrach, Abednego, and Meshach. And they're in there, and everybody thinks they're burning, but they're in there praising the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord. And what a wonderful way to our Thanksgiving, because some people are going to be putting in the fire when their relatives come over and everything's fine. So somebody starts talking about religion or politics and
then it's over. It's over. But if you do go to Mass today, that's the psalm. It's from Daniel 3. And I think it's just so beautiful as we're giving thanks. All the earth give the thanks today to the Lord. And you know, what's wonderful too is we asked our listeners to call into us and, you know, share with us some of their Thanksgiving reflections or thoughts. And we have this listener that called in and wanted to share this.
Hello, calling to share what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for EWTN and all of the understanding that it brings to us. One in particular is the word Kikera Tamani and how Angel Gabriel used that in his greeting toward Our Lady, and that it was the only place in the whole Bible where that word is used, distinguishing her into the hyperdulia understanding of honor higher than any other human being other than God himself. And I love how Women of Grace puts actual flesh and blood on that word. Jeanette lives that word by asking Our Lady to share her heart with her. And it's one of the things I'm very grateful for. Thank you.
You know, I have to say it's early in the morning because I thought he said Ayatollah Khomeini. I was like, what's he talking about? But that is not what he said.
We cover scripture. We cover Our Lady. We cover everything.
Well, you know, like, that is not what he said.
Karatomene, which means full of grace in Greece and Greek. And I know, Deacon, you called that, there's a term for that. It occurs only once in the scripture.
Hapax legomenon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's actually, and it's also the past perfect participle of the Greek word kairitou. So literally you would read that, hail you who have always been full of grace. You have always been graced.
Yeah.
You know, so that, and that's where we get the idea of part of our understanding of the Immaculate Conception comes from.
And that's high praise for Jeanette. So
okay, look.
Bless Jeanette now. She's been called she's like unto full of grace.
Okay, so I have to confess, Deacon, when you said that, all I heard was, Hapa da 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 da
da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
Okay, well, see, thank you.
Gloria, it's good that you point out this word because hapax legomenon is only one time in the text where this appears. And maybe in the history of your family, there's only been one time where everybody around that Thanksgiving table got along. Maybe that was the one miracle because every year, right, we have the challenge of putting the fun back in dysfunctional. You know, how do you deal?
I like that. Putting
difficult
the fun
people.
Back.
So, whether you're in a parish, dealing with your parish council, or difficult situations, or you're trying to get together Thanksgiving, I'd like to hear everybody's ideas, advice, comments. How do you navigate the challenges of Thanksgiving with family and friends with different viewpoints?
You know, sometimes we need to remember we're the difficult person. You know? Sometimes, you know, we're talking about, sometimes we're the difficult person. And it might be a decision you have to make ahead of time that you're going to avoid, if you're going to avoid those topics that you think just ruin everything. Or maybe your family's the type that y'all love to, like, you know, get into these kind of heavy, you know, animated discussions. So it just depends, I guess, on the vibe in the family and what people can do without ruining Thanksgiving or what would still be fun, you know, a fun time.
Yeah.
So,
well, no, you know, the other thing I would say is that one time I did have something I needed to say to a family member. And I just knew that I had to say it because that's the time I was going to see this family member. And I, instead of, you know, bringing it up in some awkward way, I just said, come out here and talk with me about something. I cleared the air early. And I said, you know, I kind of had to talk to him about an issue that was going on in his life and in the family. And I said, nah, and I love you. And we'll leave it at that. I've said what I need to say and let's enjoy Thanksgiving now. Boom. You know, and it all went very well in that sense. So I got spared. But sometimes you do need to clear the air. I mean, we can't just always stay silent. Sometimes we have to say things, and there are moments like when we do come together, and that's the only time we really do. But maybe to try to clear it early and talk privately where we can.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Father
There's
DeRosa.
A wonderful, in medieval drama on stage, right, or in the puppet shows and so on and so forth, the same five or six characters appeared in every one, right? There was always the comic relief, the good guy, the girl that he was in love with, and then the evil uncle or the evil or the neighbor or whatever, right?
And they were Thanksgiving.
And it was at Thanksgiving, yeah. Right? But the way I look at it is you just acknowledge the fact that in every show there's going to be those character traits. There's going to be you know, somebody who fills that role, and you sit there, you let that person play out their role to a certain degree. And I think this would be more around the table, whereas like Monsignor's thought might have been more like pull somebody aside, which is also absolutely wonderful. But you know, you sort of watch it, and when the show is over, everybody stands up and claps, even when that person comes out on stage. You know, so just realize, like, sometimes, you know what, there's just certain things that will always be part of things. At my family, the Thanksgiving conversation always went through a couple of topics. Comparative blood pressure medication. What's wrong with high school sports? And how everything was better in Brooklyn in the 30s when Papa was alive and we were poor but happy. You know?
You know, oh my gosh. That kind of reminds me when we would have like my grandmother's friends come over. It was always a discussion on who got the sugars. Sugar is another way to say diabetes. They call it They would always talk about that. But my mother had a saying. She was like, you are, just because someone else is disagreeable doesn't mean that you are to be too. And so my mother was just the most gracious hostess, no matter how rude and uncouth some people were. And I remember one Thanksgiving, we invited a very close cousin, is just like an uncle. And for some reason, he decided to bring his new girlfriend. good Lord, did she really test that saying of, you know, just my mother just smiled. And I was like, we were looking at him like, where did you find this person? And why would you bring them to Thanksgiving? Needless to say, when we got him alone, we just all gave him a look. You know, nobody said, dude, really? We just gave him a look and he ended up marrying somebody else. We were like, are you kidding me? She was just so incredibly rude. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing, actually. Yeah.
I tend to be a worrier. And so whenever, whether it's going into Thanksgiving or a family reunion or some situations be difficult and I kind of think, oh, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? I just try to pray a rosary, like in the car on the way in, and like just give it to the Blessed Mother and say, you know, or sometimes I have this app, we can play the St. Michael Chaplet, might pray that for some spiritual warfare, you know. So if you're going into a tense situation, just give it to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady that she can help work things out. And two, like, you know, like they say with AA, you know, you want to fight stinking thinking by having, you know, counting your blessings. So it's like, okay, think, well, you know, if this person wasn't there, Jesus died for this person, you know, this is a part of our family, our friends, you know, what we can do to make it positive. So I don't know. That seems to help.
Right. What do y'all think about excusing yourself from the table if you feel like you're just about to lose it?
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Imposing time off and
yeah. Time out.
I think I see the trash overflowing. I'd probably be right back.
Good one. I love that. That's true. Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I would also say, you know, one of the things that has in some families exacerbates the problem is alcohol. So maybe if you limit
I was going to say, have a glass of wine, and you just don't care.
It kind of depends. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes it makes it worse.
Yeah.
That's true.
People go cool, and they're quiet, and others get very hostile.
That's true.
Father Bjorn makes a great point, you know, that there is a degree of spiritual warfare going on here, right? Wherever the greatest graces are possible, the greatest temptation will arise. And it'll often seem completely irrational. That's because the devil is the opposite of truth. Mm-hmm. He is the opposite of the rational, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, saying those prayers, it's no joke, folks. Like, say those prayers beforehand. Ask the Lord to give you the right words at the right time for the right people. Because the enemy does not want you to get the graces from this Thanksgiving that God wants you to get. Yeah. You know, God wants there to be healing. God wants there to be peace. It's going to be great.
So the one Thanksgiving I didn't spend with family, we went to a friend's house for Thanksgiving. And it was our first Thanksgiving eating with friends, just friends and no blood relatives. So we get there. And I had decided to bring a ham just so. They were like, oh, you're not bringing anything, but just something said, bring a ham. We get there. They pull out the turkey. It is this gigantic, beautiful brown-skinned turkey. They cut into it completely raw.
Oh, my God.
They had used some kind of newfangled cooking technique that they saw on YouTube. Well, it was a beautiful brown turkey. But inside was completely raw and cold, and you could see that it was about to go downhill from there because everybody was hungry and people were starting to get mad. And I was like, I brought a ham. And so we pulled the ham out, and we were able to eat that, and everybody seemed to get happy after that. But it started to turn almost into a disagreeable Thanksgiving because that beautiful turkey everybody was so ready to eat was completely raw and cold on the inside.
The natives were restless.
Can I say, that your story there reminds me, though, of another story from my childhood I'll never forget. We had a Thanksgiving. My mom had taken the bird out of the oven, and it was sort of set there just to cool a little bit, and our big Dalmatian dog ran and grabbed that turkey. And out the back door and was trotting around the yard with that huge turkey in his mouth like a trophy. And with the Thanksgiving turkey right there.
Holy cow.
Prince, our great Dalmatian dog, 1971.
Wow. That is
we're going out for Chinese.
Funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, send out for Chinese.
the dog was like, I'm waiting.
I got kind of a I don't know if I probably should say this. I think it's funny. So don't think this is racist, but of course my wife is Irish, and so when I brought her home for the very first time for Thanksgiving, it was my mom and my brothers and my sister and myself and Colleen, and you know, people a little nervous, you know, they're meeting my family for the first time, and we sit down to eat, and my mother says, dark meat or white meat? And my brother said, of course she wants the dark meat, you know.
Oh, no.
and that broke the tension.
Oh, Lord,
that broke
mercy.
The tension, and they loved her after that. So
that's humor. That's right, humor.
Yes. All right, well, look, When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit, too, about making grace part of our everyday life. And when we return.
Join us around the breakfast table of faith. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. Text us. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Then text your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
And you are listening to Morning Glory on this Thanksgiving Day. Happy Thanksgiving to our EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network family. I'm your co-host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Gloria Purvis. And today is a special day, not only because it's Thanksgiving, we're thankful because we have all three godly counsels with us today. We have Father Bjorn Lundberg, Father Vincent DeRosa, and Monsignor Charles Pope. So we got everybody today. So there I tells them. You. So that's what I'm thankful for, that we have everybody together. Yeah. Kind of like a little family reunion, you know, all here together.
The Deacon, there's a Holy Trinity in heaven, and then there's a less than Holy Trinity.
And work in progress. That's why we only get together once a year.
Work in progress.
Oh, gosh.
That's hilarious. It takes a lot of preparation to make this thing work.
That's right. But speaking of preparation, we did ask our listeners to call in.
My name is Cease, and I'm calling from Lincoln, Nebraska. And I just want to say my heart is full to overflowing with thanksgiving for Jerry and Debbie and the Take Two EWTN families. Mother Angelica is a saint in my estimation, and all those who continue her ministry in any way are modern-day apostles. Life just wouldn't be the same without EWTN and all the wonderful programming they provide. Life can be difficult, and we all have our crosses to bear, but knowing that Christ suffered and died for us, and knowing that we can lay our burdens at the foot of the cross and offer them up, this is the healing balm that gives me, and hopefully all of us, a great sense of peace and hope. I pray for world peace and the eternal salvation of all our families and friends, and I'm so very grateful for the gift of faith, and I pray that all may be blessed with the gift of faith, hope, and love this Thanksgiving season and always. Thank you, and God bless.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Nice message from a listener in Lincoln, Nebraska. Isn't that Bishop Conley's area?
It is.
Bishop Conley? Yes. Great bishop, by the way. So I know they're having a great Thanksgiving out there.
But they're probably eating a steak.
Yeah.
What'd he say? Right. What?
He said probably eating a steak out there in Nebraska.
Corn-fed beef.
Corn-fed beef, right. Good stuff.
Well, just imagine how I'm grateful for Mother Angelica. You know, when I think about imagine what, with everything going on in the church, everything going on in our world today, imagine if there's no EWTN. was saying, I'm too afraid. I might fail. I might, you know. So that just give encouragement to people who have something on their heart. They really think that God's called them to do something, but they're too afraid to do it. You know, think about Mother Angelica and the impact that she made it by trusting God.
Amen. And I imagine there was a lot of prayer involved with that, which, you know, reminds us to think about what kind of prayer traditions do we have on Thanksgiving? And I know, Father DeRosa, you were suggesting one of the most obvious ones, I think.
Yeah, is grace before meals, which, of course, is a major thing that we think about on Thanksgiving. And it's really appropriate to the day, because in our European country backgrounds, among the Italians, the Latin countries, the Italians, the French, the Spanish, the Portuguese, etc., the phrase action de grâce in French, right? Or the, what is it, Monsignor? What is it in Latin? It's the act of grace. But it means Thanksgiving. You know?
Yeah.
So to say grace is an.
What was that?
Yeah, there you go. Grazie a tibi. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I give you thanks, God, Almighty God.
We give you thanks, exactly. So, grace and thanksgiving always go hand in hand, not just for the sake of beginning a meal, but really for the spirit of the day. And I know in our family we had fairly simple grace before meals for Thanksgiving. But does anybody have stories of more elaborate more particular grace customs?
Yeah, we go around the table and everybody just says what they're thankful for. I as the father, even though my mother-in-law and brother-in-law there, it's my house. I'm the priest in the house, right? So I lead the prayer. And then we go around and everybody says, please say something you're thankful for. And we remember our deceased relatives as well, that could not be with us. So that's something that we do.
Corey's got something coming up.
Well, no, it's just like it's a funny thing that people do on social media at the time. It's like they'll show like a video of somebody praying real long and everybody looking like, are we ever going to get to the food? I don't know why. That just always cracks me up. So whenever they ask me to pray, I pray like I'm an old Baptist minister. I just start calling on all the patriarchs and just pray.
and we just want somebody to say something. We just want to thank you.
Exactly.
Okay, then thank me and be done with it.
Some people do the quick prayer. Yeah, that's true. Just depends, right?
It's not exactly a Thanksgiving real tradition, but and I probably get condemned by my brother priest for having done this, but when I was a high school chaplain and I was preaching in front of 750 kids and trying to keep them awake, one time I wrote down the script with some modifications from Talladega Nights when they have their grace before Thanksgiving meal where Will Ferrell is leading the prayer with Ricky Bobby. And there's a few colorful comments I left out, but I started the homily off while they're all drooling and asleep saying, I can't unequivocally endorse this movie. However, Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights prays to the infant Jesus. And I read the thing with the accent and they all woke up and got whiplash waking up listening to that prayer. To this day, kids who graduated remember that time we did the Ricky Bobby Thanksgiving prayers. It's kind of that thing, Gloria.
I'm really more of a Monty Python Thanksgiving fan.
Oh,
with the accent.
Oh, Lord. Thou art so great. We're all impressed down here, you know.
Lord, who are so holy, who are so big. Gosh, we're all impressed down here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
In all seriousness, right, we are quite thankful to the Lord that we're able to meet, eat, and greet with our family, you know.
Yes.
And I do think it's important, you know, I'm sure there are other prayer traditions, considering it's a big football day, too, on Thanksgiving, and somebody praying for their team to win, because you know how that goes, right?
you know,
they're praying for all kinds of things.
You know, I want to say, though, that really Thanksgiving Day is a good day, but we should be grateful every day. And I often remind people about this. It's just hard to overestimate how important gratitude is for good mental, spiritual, and emotional health.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Grateful people are different.
Yeah.
They're different. And, Jesus says in every Mass, remember, do this in memory or in remembrance of me. And when he says that, he's basically saying, look, have so present to your mind and your heart what I've done for you, so that you're grateful and different. And so grateful people are different, you know, because they meditate and they're aware of God's blessings. They're more confident, they're more serene, they're more hopeful, they're more joyful, they're more generous. Gratitude just frees the soul from so much anxiety and fear. So I would just say that for all of us, Thanksgiving is not just a day, but it's an attitude, as we know, the old attitude of gratitude, but it's a complete lifestyle to embrace. The whole center of our Christian life is Eucharistein, right there, the Eucharist. Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating too, Monsignor points out, like, all the science today is showing us what God has taught us in the faith. Like Sigmund Freud said many of his clients needed psychotherapy, but he said many of his clients just needed confession. Mm-hmm. And now you look at when God says you have to come over to Mass on Sunday once a week, he's like, once a week for an hour, I want you to be. You know, it's just, if you think about what that would do for America, if everybody would get together every week and go to Mass and be grateful and count their blessings, how that would change people's lives.
Exactly.
Turns us out of ourselves toward others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of that, isn't there a special Mass for Thanksgiving in the United States, right? So it's there not is, like a votive Mass. I mean, it's in the actual Roman Missal.
With the and then all the priests debate about whether the prayers are good. There actually is.
Do y'all do that debate about? Do y'all really do that? The inner lives of priests.
The Catholic priests get together and say, "This is not a good prayer."
guys are so cute, I swear. Well, it's been so good to have all of y'all together on this Thanksgiving. I'm giving thanks to the Lord that all these wonderful men are with me this morning on this wonderful day. Well, look, coming up tomorrow morning, Gloria, we'll be talking about the upcoming Advent season.
Mm, yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Well, let us pray then. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, we give you thanks for this day and for all of the great gifts that you give us each and every day. Lord, we ask you to send down your blessings upon our team, upon our listeners, and upon all those that we will meet today. Help us to be a sign of your blessing to them. May God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. Gobble, gobble.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.